The prices on everything is going up these days. Even if you clip coupons, grocery shopping can cost you a pretty penny. Many people have begun gardening as a way to save money, eat healthy, and lower stress. Now you can save even more money on gardening when you visit garden.com and use promo code SAGMSHOW. You receive $15 off $75 or more for all your gardening needs. Remember, garden.com and use promo code SAGMSHOW to save on your next purchase. To find more gardening discounts, visit AmberMayShow.com.
Hello, and welcome to Spotlight, a public affairs program focusing on life in Arizona. And now, here's your host for Spotlight, Mark Johnson.
Thank you for tuning in to Spotlight today. I'm Amber May, filling in for Mark Johnson, and we have an important but necessary topic to discuss today. And I have Jamie Throne with us, and she is from Streetlight Ministries, and they focus on helping children get out of the sex slave industry. Approximately 1 million children are forced into work in the sex slave industry every year. Between 100,000 and 300,000 children in America are at risk every year to become involved in the sex slave industry. And first I want to thank Jamie for being on the program, but tell us how children get involved in this. How do they get lured into it, especially in the United States? Because in my mind, I think, okay, sex slavery in Indonesia or in a foreign country, but in the United States, it's unbelievable.
That's a great question. Seems like lately in America, sex trafficking has been a hot topic, especially when we talk about it internationally. We don't really think about it happening domestically. On an international level, oftentimes a girl is lured into prostitution or sex slavery, but it's happening mainly from her parents. They may be in a situation of poverty where the best way out for them is to sell their daughter so that that person that they're selling her to will be paying them so that they can provide for their family. So you see a lot of families selling their children. That's not necessarily happening here in the States. Does it happen? Yes, but it's not the norm. The norm here is more manipulation, forced. Sometimes it's kidnapping. Sometimes it's just pure luring of a young 14, 15, 16-year-old girl. So I'll give you a couple scenarios
I would
of
love
how
that
it would happen. For example, you have a girl. She's a Christian girl, comes from a great home. She's 14 years old. She may be looking for a little bit of attention. She may be wanting to rebel a little bit. But she's on MySpace or Facebook, just kind of poking around, putting some pictures up that may be a little bit promiscuous, but nothing too bad, of course, that her parents would get her in trouble. The unfortunate thing is that you don't know who is online seeing those pictures. So she may end up being lured into it in that way. Someone is a predator, you know, following her online for a long time. Another way that it may happen, she may end up going to a mall. A lot of times a pimp will pose as a photographer. He may approach this girl and say, you know, you are gorgeous, you're beautiful, I would make you a model, we could be famous together, why don't you come to my studio, I'll take some pictures. What 14, 15, 16-year-old girl doesn't want the attention of an 18, 19, 20-year-old good-looking guy?
Right.
You know, so even if she's coming from a good background, she may go to his home, he may take some pictures, ask her, hey, could you, you know, maybe take your shirt off. We'll just do some pictures of you in your bra. Okay, you know, no harm, no foul. So she does that, and by the end of it, he's taking pictures that she really didn't want to do, but she trusted him. She was manipulated by him, and by the end of the photo shoot, he has compromising pictures. He can say, you know, unless you do this for me, I'm going to post these pictures of you all around your school. I'm going to show your parents. That's the last thing that girl wants to happen. Mm-hmm. So she's going to do whatever she can, whatever that pimp really is what he is, tells her to do. So basically has her. That's oftentimes how it starts. And then they're stuck. and they feel like they can't get out, and so they, they're his.
Wow.
In a lot of ways. So that's a common way.
And the girls don't tell their parents that, hey, some scout agent found me at the mall and wants to take my picture, wants me to be a model. They don't share that with their parents?
I don't think that's happening very often. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, you know, especially if the parent is really involved in that child's life. That's definitely important for parents to hear that right now. It's important to be asking your kids questions. But if a parent doesn't ask that question, that 15-year-old girl may not offer that up, that information, because it's kind of risky. It's a way that she can rebel without, in her mind, thinking that she's being too rebellious. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and in my mind, though, because I wanted to pursue that life at one time, and I think most girls do. They see the glamour in it, and they think, oh, that'd be so cool. Mm-hmm. I want to do it. And so if I had someone approach me in the mall, the first thing I would do is tell my parents in excitement, like, oh, my gosh, I have a big break. Mm-hmm. This guy wants me to be a model, and he can help me. In my mind, that's what I would have done. Mm-hmm. So to me, it surprises me, but you know, then again, I'm a lot older than a lot of these girls now, and believe it or not, my youngest sister is 10 years younger than me, and it's a whole generation apart where you wouldn't think so, but her generation's completely different than what I grew up, and kind of sad in a way, because I remember going to the mall with my friends, and my parents would drop us off for hours, pick us up at a certain time. Back then, there was no cell phone, so it was either payphone, and some of us started getting pagers at that time. Mm-hmm. So that was like the only way you could communicate with your parents, is if you said, okay, at this time, I'm going to be at this store to pick you up, be there, or you're going to get in trouble. Right. Or give me a call if something changed. Here's some change with the payphone. Or towards the end of my high school career, I actually had a pager so my parents could page me. But now I'm scared for parents, you know. Mm-hmm. To be a parent nowadays, I think, is pretty scary, because I remember growing up and being able to go out in the neighborhoods and ride my bike with my friends. But I'm thinking, if I was a parent today, would I allow my children to go around the neighborhood just simply riding bikes to play outside? Is it that scary to live in? And when we think about this child sex slavery, and we think how easy it is, because when I was growing up, internet just started to get big. You know, chat rooms just started. People didn't know it was a way that predators can reach young children. And so what would be your advice to parents and online time? Because obviously you said this is a way for child predators to come after your children. So what advice do you give to the parents with the online use in their children?
That's a great question, and I don't have kids at home yet. I will soon, but I don't right now. Mm-hmm. And but my personal advice would be just to be very diligent in monitoring who your child's friends are on Facebook, who they're talking to on MySpace, who they're talking to on their cell phones. I think it's better in some ways to be more strict. Your kids may think you're more strict, and I don't know what the word is, but I guess that would be the best word for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to do that than to be lax, and then who knows what will happen to your child. So I would say strong parental involvement is crucial. It's so critical, because even with that, some girls, unfortunately, still become victims of child sex slavery. So, I mean, I'm not saying that to be to cause undue fear, but
right.
I also want to make sure that parents know that it's a legitimate issue, and it's something you should talk to your kids about. It's a dinner table conversation to say, hey, if someone ever approaches you like this in a mall, it may be exciting, and they may be a legitimate photographer, but the chances are too good that they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's way better to, you know, miss out on a photo op than to fall into that, and then who knows what will happen to you after
and
that.
We can explain to the children, if it's a legitimate photographer, then they're going to want the parents involved.
Exactly.
If they don't want the parents involved, then obviously there's something they're hiding.
Correct. Correct.
And I think maybe we've gotten away from stranger danger. I remember being little, my parents talked to me about stranger danger, but I don't really hear that anymore about in the parental world, or maybe PSAs on TV or anything like that about stranger danger. For instance, a friend of mine has a young child, and this kid is so friendly and will go up to strangers and start talking to them. And I tried, when I was watching the child babysitting, I tried to tell the kid, you can't just run off. I need to see where you're at. And you can't just talk to whoever you want. They will hurt you. Mm-hmm. Trying to put it into like a four-year-old's perspective of not everyone loves kids, you know, not everyone's friendly. It's important to teach these kids that not everyone is nice like your circle of friends, and there's a lot of people out there that are willing to hurt you. And I, one thing about pornography is I hate pornography because I feel like it helps this sex slave industry even further, because it has children doing things that children never should do. And you start out innocently, maybe, I say innocently in quotes, looking at adult pornography, but then it starts changing your mindset, and then people start going after children because pretty soon that doesn't excite them anymore, and these children are innocent. And I don't know the twisted mind of people who look at this stuff, but it hurts my heart so much to know that there's girls out there that fall victim, and they're innocent. You know, teenagers think they know it all. They think mom and dad are dumb. They don't know what they're talking about. But little do they know, mom and dad know a lot more than they think they do.
That's true.
And they still need to be protected. And so if parents send their kids out to the mall or monitor their kids at home watching, playing online and stuff, especially with the mall, what would you say? Just reiterate, you know, if someone approaches you, make sure you're in a public place. Don't go with anyone. Don't give them your number. Would you kind of reiterate all that?
Exactly. And I would even go one step further to say, is it the wisest decision to just drop your 13-year-old daughter off at the mall with some of her friends if you know that this situation is happening? I don't really think it is. Are there other ways that you can show your daughter that you trust her and that you're giving her freedom? Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe she's going with a group of friends to the movies, and you happen to go with your girlfriend as a mom. You know, a couple of your girlfriends go and you watch a different movie, but you're there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Or something along those lines, just making sure that you're not putting them in unnecessarily danger.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to be naive since I'm not a parent yet.
Right, right.
But
you're kind of, you're working in this ministry, mm-hmm. and you see the end result of,
yeah.
of children being hurt. And
it's not worth it.
Yeah, you're trying to heed parents and be like, hey, watch them. I totally get that.
Yeah.
What's the average age that you find these children getting involved in this terrible situation?
According to the U.S. Department of Justice, the average age of entry into what they call child prostitution, but what is essentially child sex slavery, is 13 years old. So that means that there are girls that are under the age of 13 that are in it, if the average age is 13. Most of the girls that are found in Phoenix are a little bit older. 14, 15, 16 tends to be the average age, but there have been children as young as 11 that have been rescued here in the Valley. So it's real, it's happening. It's not a 19, 20, 21 year old issue, even though that would be just as, you know, that's still a critical issue. We're talking about young, innocent junior high girls, high school girls that are being lured into a lifestyle of child sex slavery.
Now, when we talk about child sex slavery, are we talking about they get taken across borders? Or are we talking about it actually happens here, like they get kidnapped here and then taken to Mexico, for instance, or it's happening right here in the Phoenix area?
Great question. We get that a lot. And common misconception is that sex trafficking has to involve movement from one state to another, one country to another. And it doesn't. If a girl is taken from her living room and she is prostituted out in her bedroom, that's still considered trafficking because she is doing something against her will. She's forced into it and it's for profit. Even if it wasn't for profit, it would still be considered that. So What Streetlight focuses and what I'm speaking to specifically today is domestic minor sex trafficking. So we're talking about American citizen girls trafficked within state borders. So if a girl's kidnapped in Arizona and she's prostituted out in Arizona, that's still sex trafficking. If she is lured into it in LA and she's moved to Phoenix, still sex trafficking. So sometimes people, you know, when I tell them what I'm involved in, the work that our ministry does, they say, oh yeah, Arizona, that makes sense. You're right by the Mexican border. I'm sure there's a lot of girls coming over from Mexico. That probably is the case. However, we don't even touch that issue. We're just talking and working with girls that are American citizens that are being abused and traumatized here in the city.
Is this a national issue or just it an is. Arizona
It's issue. A national issue.
Wow.
So a lot of times, Vice may rescue a girl that is, you know, downtown Phoenix. They may rescue her. She may be from Phoenix. She may be from L.A. Her pimp has just moved her here. There tends to be a circuit on the West Coast that pimps tend to move their girls to be out of the spotlight, to make sure that they're under the radar, not getting caught by cops. That circuit tends to be something along the lines of L.A., to Vegas, perhaps up to Portland and Seattle, back down to Phoenix, and then down into Dallas, Fort Worth area. The Houston area is a big trafficking area. Basically, your major cities on the West Coast are where the track out in the West tends to be of American girls. Now, there are other tracks in the United States as well. For example, Columbus, Ohio is one of the highest rates of child trafficking in the United States.
Wow.
People are shocked when we say that because it's Ohio. You know what's
happening
in Ohio? Yeah,
Midwest, farmers,
exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a huge city. You've got the Ohio State University. You've got massive demand there. You've got major sporting events coming in. You've also got concerts. It's a major trucking route where a lot of semis are going through. It's Ohio. People aren't necessarily thinking that sex trafficking is happening in the Midwest, but it's one of the top cities for trafficking. And so that I only bring up that to say that it's not just happening in Phoenix. It really is an issue that is affecting all of the United States. And it's not just big cities. Missoula, Montana, where the movie A River Runs Through It, that movie was filmed, there was just a case of a girl that was being pimped out by a college student up there that was just busted. So it happens in small cities. People just aren't necessarily aware of it.
I think one thing that I'm hearing is that we need to start praying for our nation and break the curse or the demonic influence of lust, of lusting after anything, women, children, even adults. I mean, go from one partner to a next to the next to the next. I think we have a big problem in the United States with the issue of sex, because sex is supposed to be between a husband and a wife to bond them, to become a family, to grow a family, to have children in a godly setting. That was the whole purpose of it. And it seems like a lot of people in our nation are now just bombarded with it. And now we have a movie out that makes it look so fun and advertising about being casual partners. I just think that's pitiful. Why are we showing this on the big screen, that it's just so wonderful and pleasant to do and do it with anybody? It doesn't matter. That's giving children the wrong message, and it's definitely telling adults the wrong message. And so I think as Christians, we need to really pray that the spirit of lust gets removed from our country, because it's just terrible. And my heart really goes out to these kids that are involved, and how they get involved is just heartbreaking. How do these children get out? How do they get rescued? You said Vice works with Streetlight. So Vice is a specialized unit within the police department.
Correct.
And so they work with Streetlight, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so how do children come out of it? Is it just purely when the cops bust a big ring and the children come out? Is that the only way? I mean, How does that happen?
Good question. Well, Vice is an undercover unit in the Phoenix Police Department, and they are our main partners, really, when it comes to rescuing girls. And that is primarily the way that girls are rescued from it. Unfortunately, pimps are so manipulative and so good at brainwashing their victims that even if a young girl hates what she's doing, even if she is sick and tired of the abuse and the constant raping that is happening of her night after night after night, unfortunately, it's very difficult for that girl to get out of that situation because that pimp has said, you know, if you run, I'm going to do XYZ to your family. If you run, if you tell the cops, I'm going to do this and this and this to you. And here's a picture of what I did to a former girl. So she is really terrified that she's, you know, of what's going to happen to her or her loved ones. So she's stuck. She's trapped. Even if he's not physically chaining her to that house or that bedroom, she's stuck. You know, it feels like those chains are really wrapped around her. So a lot of people ask, you know, why don't these girls just run away? But that's really why. They feel stuck and terrified. So when Vice rescue them, they're really like a prisoner of war because they feel so torn. They want, they desire to be rescued, to be freed. But the very thing that the pimp has been telling them time after time after time, don't talk to the cops, don't ever talk to the cops. Now they're being asked to tell their story, and all of the stories that, you know, stories of abuse and trauma that have happened to them, they're in this place of turmoil in a lot of ways. So right now, Vice are really the ones that are rescuing them. Unfortunately, there's no real place for them to go. If a Vice officer rescues a 14-year-old girl that has been pimped out for 6 months, say, and they return her to her home, unfortunately, most likely that girl's going to run because she's scared of what the pimp's going to do if he finds her. She's scared of what her family is going to think of her. She's come to believe that she's not worth anything, that she's just the property of that pimp. So she's most likely going to run right back to that pimp. It's hard for us to imagine, yeah, but there's so many layers of trauma and abuse that we can't fault that girl for running back. So if they place her in a home, even if it's with CPS, she's going to run. So really the safest place for her right now, before Streetlight opens our doors, right now, it's jail, because she's in a secure lockdown facility where her pimp can't get her, she can't run away, and her basic needs are being provided for her. Now, that's an awful place for her to go, because then she's further told, actually, you're a criminal. You're not a victim, you're a criminal.
Right.
Now, Vice, they're really, I can't speak highly enough about them. When we met them in 2007, they came to us talking about the issue and just saying, we are so tired of telling these young victims, you are not a criminal, and then turning around and putting them in jail. It's such a dilemma.
Yeah, exactly.
Of hearing for so long, you're a criminal. And then others saying, no, you're a victim, but we're going to treat you like a criminal. So it really was Vice that said, we need an aftercare facility that we can place these young victims in, so really survivors in, so that they don't continue to feel further criminalized.
Right. So, in the last few minutes of the program, tell us about Streetlight, what it does, and how it helps these children.
Well, Streetlight is a not-for-profit organization. We are a faith-based organization that our main mission is to eradicate child sex slavery here in the Valley as well as throughout the United States. We focus on doing that through three ways: raising awareness, promoting prevention, and providing aftercare. So about 50% of what we do is spreading the word. We do that through a film called Branded, as well as speaking engagements throughout the Valley, just really talking about this issue, because nothing can really be done about it if no one knows it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize that if we never talk about the issue, then we're just going to have to keep building bigger and bigger and bigger safe houses. On the flip side, if we only focus on aftercare, then we're just going to have to build bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, nothing's going to fit. Yep.
So That's kind of why we work on it in three ways. The aftercare facility is really the first of its kind in the area. There are less than six safe houses for girls for this specific population in the United States. Now, if there are 100,000 young victims in the United States, there are currently less than 100 beds for them. That's really ridiculous and sad in a lot of ways. So when we open our facility, we'll be able to house up to 48 girls. They will be provided for in numerous ways. We really want to meet the holistic needs of that resident, of that survivor. So she'll be provided with an education, with medical care, with food and a home. We have a 5-acre facility with six cottages. It really is a campus. Now, is it high security? Yes, it is. It's an undisclosed location. However, when you step foot on campus, you really feel like you're home. It's beautiful. It's comforting. In addition to education and life skill training, she'll also be able to receive the definitely needed types of counseling that just she'll need to work through all those issues of trauma that she's experienced. So that's just a real quick nutshell version of who we are, what we hope to offer. We are a licensed group home as of January of this year. That was about a 2-year process of getting that accomplished through the state of Arizona, so we're very excited about that, and we anticipate that this spring we will be opening our doors to needed survivors. So that's kind of where we are.
Are you guys helping people across the nation develop your model to open it in other states?
Yes. Our long-term vision is that we would have streetlights in different cities. That's part of my job is to make sure that we're compiling all of the research that we've done and just the mistakes we've made and the progress we've made so that ideally we can put them together in, a book or a binder to say, this is how you open a streetlight facility. Here you go.
That's awesome. So I think it's definitely needed, cool. Especially in places like you said, Columbus, mm-hmm. and Las Vegas and Los Angeles. I'm so thankful that there is a group of people out there that are really working hard to eradicate this terrible, devastating thing in our country. And we have been talking with Jamie Throne with Streetlight Ministries, helping to eradicate the child sex slave industry in America. Thank you so much, Jamie, for joining us on
Thanks
Spotlight today.
Me. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to Spotlight. If you have a guest you would like us to interview or a topic you would like us to cover or suggestions or comments, contact us by email at johnsonmark32@yahoo.com. That's johnsonmark32@yahoo.com. This has been a public affairs program of KXEG KXXT Radio.